Welcome to Today's Issues, offering a Christian response to the issues of the day. Here's your host, Tim Wildman, President of the American Family Association.
Well, good morning, everybody, and welcome to the radio program, Today's Issues. Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. I don't know why I tell you every day that this is a radio program. It's unnecessary. You know it's a radio program, so I'll try to get better about that. Welcome to this show, this program, on American Family Radio. I am Tim Wildman. Ed Vitagliano with me this morning. Good morning, Ed.
It's also, good morning, Tim. It's also good to be on this radio show.
Good. So where is Brother Ray Pritchard? You're filling in for Ray.
I am. He's out teaching the Bible somewhere, preaching the gospel or something.
He's actually going to be. He is doing that, but he's doing it at...
What am I hearing?
That's my, my computer.
We're hearing me.
That's my radio computer.
You can't get enough me. That's all I can say.
Oh, that was you on a, Walker was playing a video of you, and it was coming over.
Yeah, I'm setting up our Facebook page while I'm talking, and that was my Facebook.
He didn't have it muted.
Yeah. Oh. The problem's fixed.
Okay. Well, but, there's no reason to relive it.
But
just go ahead.
Dr. Pritchard proceed. Is in Tennessee with Brother Bert Harper speaking at the Fishbowl Retreat.
Right. Oh, okay, good.
Yeah.
Good.
So Ray will be back with us next week probably. Fred Jackson is here with us. Good morning, Fred.
Nice to be in the studio.
Yeah. It's radio studio, isn't it?
No, I just have to say studio because everybody knows it's radio.
I'm on the edge of being mocked. I feel it by the three of you here in this room. Don't think I can't discern it when it happens, by the way. Walker, yesterday we had problems with our Today's Issues Facebook page, didn't we?
Yes, we did, and I figured out exactly what the problem was per Brent Creeley, our producer here.
Right.
He said that we didn't have enough storage on our computer here, so our IT guys fixed it. Don't ask how they fixed it, but they fixed it, and we're up and live streaming now on Facebook.
So we bought some more storage?
That would be my assumption, but I'm not going to say that for sure. Cause
we got a computer U-Haul.
Yeah.
Yeah. Cleaned out the attic.
Yeah.
You know.
There you go.
Boy, just the two letters IT intimidate me. So our IT team, they could do anything to your computer. You wouldn't know it.
That's right.
You wouldn't. You're talking about vulnerable.
Yeah.
We are vulnerable to the IT people of this world.
Yeah, it's kind of like going to get your car worked on, and the technician
comes
out and says,
he said, you got this,
you know, you need a new air filter, you need a new oil filter, and you need new tires.
And and the flacker switch probably needs to be replaced right over there. Probably the Spencer valve, too.
Yep.
And you're just nodding like you know what he's saying because you're too embarrassed as a man not to admit that you don't know what he's talking about.
So you
about.
Just say, well, whatever... You know, whatever you think, or say something like, I was thinking the same thing the other day when I checked under the hood.
Yeah.
You go with that. That's better than saying, I have no idea what you're talking about.
And then,
but you can't tell him, no, that Spencer valve looks fine to me.
Yeah.
Right, and you're trying to rip me off.
Yeah.
You're just trying to stick me for some more money.
Right.
Go back and fix my car.
Yeah, and believe me, I know what's wrong with it, so don't try any funny business.
Yeah, I'm watching through the window. All right. Anyway, thanks for joining us on today on the program today, Walker. Tell us we got the Facebook, so we can go and you can go and watch the show there. If people
That's
want
right.
to do that.
The Facebook live stream is up and running, obviously because I had it playing over the air here with my computer not muted, and also the news stories. We'll all post those from One News Now on our Today's Issues page.
A couple things before we move into the top news story, which is obviously the Las Vegas shooting and the fallout from that. But yesterday we had somebody, we did have one poster on our Today's Issues Facebook page saying that I think her sister was in Las Vegas as a nurse and was working through the night. And those people out there at these hospitals, when you have 500 people come in, you know, that didn't include the deceased, which I don't know how they're handling that exactly, but that's awful to even consider what you would have to do there. But, Ed, you also had somebody who knew somebody.
Well, my daughter said she had a friend. She lived in California for a while, and she said one of her friends was there at the concert, and this young lady's friend, the guy friend, was shot through the leg. Nothing, you know, life-threatening. But, you know, so I think, well, you know, my daughter could have been there. But you look at these pictures, and people's daughters were there. People's sons were there. And some of them are the ones laying on the grass, the photos and stuff. And it's just this is a nightmare. And it's every parent's, every grandparent's nightmare that their kids or grandkids are going to be somewhere.
You think you're at a concert, an outdoor concert in Las Vegas, and then this happens. And Fred, is there any more news today? By the way, what are the latest in terms of
59 people dead, 525 roughly injured, one more than what we talked about yesterday morning. You know, it's 36 hours after this event, which occurred around 10 o'clock Las Vegas time on Sunday night. And what is bizarre about this story, we're not much further ahead on trying to figure out what was in this man's head to do this kind of thing. You know, I saw pictures of some of the 59 who were killed, and young and old, male, female. He wasn't distinguishing anybody. He just opened fire. What we have found out is that he had 23 weapons in the room with him. And we're still a little mystified by that. We were told yesterday that he checked in last Thursday, what we did find out, we had a question on the show yesterday. Apparently, he did have maid service. He didn't stop that. And so there's still that question, why didn't anybody see any of these?
He had maid service? He was there like...
Since last Thursday.
Since Thursday?
Yeah.
He had maid service?
But there was one, a hotel
suite.
Coming in.
Yeah.
It's a suite at the at this hotel. And that was one of the questions we talked about. Maybe put something on the door that said, don't come in. Well, yesterday there was at least one report that said no. The hotel staff came in, as they do, into hotel rooms and cleaned up. So that just adds to another question. But anybody who's been interviewed, say, you know, this guy, yeah, he liked guns. He liked to gamble. He was a big gambler, a high roller, as they call it. Someone suggested that perhaps he got this room for free because some of these big casino hotels do that.
He only lived down the road.
He lived in Mesquite, which is, 80 miles outside of Las Vegas proper. He had another 19 guns, I think, at his house.
Multimillionaire.
So
you're talking about not fitting a profile.
He doesn't.
This guy fits no profile.
No.
Right.
Yeah, and Boston 25, which is not sure from Nevada to Boston how they got this, but a reporter from Boston 25 News released this morning the first pictures from inside the hotel room, and it shows some of the weapons in there.
No motive.
No. We're just no further down. They're trying to locate his girlfriend, friend. She's believed to be in the Philippines. Remember, initially, yes, we certainly have her as a person of interest, and then within a few hours, the police were saying, no, we don't believe she was connected to this. But now they're saying, yeah, we definitely want to talk to her, if for no other reason, to try to get a little bit more into this man's head as to what was going on in his life. Because everybody they talked to, his neighbors, he lived in a senior's complex. Nothing unusual about his behavior. His brother interviewed in Florida, totally shocked by this. Can't believe, because he never talked about doing anything like this. It has been well reported he had no religious affiliations. He wasn't members of any particular radical groups. It's a mystery at this point. They just don't know.
Well, you would have thought by now, if he did have a strong motive for doing this, it would be known by now. Either by, of course, he's 64. I don't know how. Did he even have a social media presence? I don't even know. I haven't heard that. So people would do something like this. They would post something on social media that would give clues away, or leave some kind of a letter. Maybe there. But you would think by now there would be reports from Las Vegas that there was a letter, maybe that hasn't been released to the public, saying why I did this guy. Otherwise, you know, he doesn't fit the profile of somebody that's whacked out, you know, or maybe an ex-military person that's suffering from post-traumatic syndrome, or you know what I'm saying? There's right. just nothing here.
Not yeah, he didn't suddenly snap because this this was a lot of planning went into this. I mean, building platforms and everything so he could out of two different windows, two different angles, all those weapons. Mm-hmm. The time it must have taken. My understanding, Fred, if and again, sometimes we hear things and then later on they say, well, that was wrong. But he brought all these weapons in suitcases. Is that right? And that's then, so I guess these guns were broken down, maybe, and he put them back. So what I'm saying is, there's a lot of planning. This is, you know, a lot of strategic thinking went into this, mm-hmm. a lot of effort. Mm-hmm. He didn't just suddenly go crazy and grab a hammer, and just you know wade out into a crowd somewhere. So
gun control would have stopped this from happening, I think. Don't you?
Yeah, this is like the Hillary Clinton kind of response, and the response of Hollywood people and stuff that appears to be what they're saying. And
gun control would have stopped this from happening because the man would have known, hey, I can't buy that because it's illegal, mm-hmm. and I can't kill people because that's also illegal. So it would have been a preventative had he obeyed the laws of the land. Folks, I've got my tongue firmly planted in my cheek, but. For good reason to make a point against these far lefties that are coming, these celebrities. I'm not laughing about what happened in Las Vegas. I'm laughing at these celebrities who live behind their gated communities
with their armed guards,
with their armed guards, bodyguards. Telling the world how we need gun control.
Yeah,
it's just amazing to me. But it happens every time, and it's happening. It's happened yesterday. All right, we want to talk now to Dr. Frank Turek, T-U-R-E-K. Frank is in Charlotte. He's the founder of
Cross-Examine.
What are you the founder of, Frank?
I'm the founder with my wife of three incredible sons.
Founder and CEO, Frank,
that's right.
Or are you lower down on the scale?
Well, actually, we call my wife the general. She outranks everybody in the house, even though two of her sons are in the Air Force. So,
we're talking to Captain Frank Turek.
Right, right, right.
Well, I got two captain sons, but
private.
No, I'm a lowly ex-Navy guy, and my wife outranks everybody. Yeah. So what do you?
Hey, Frank, what do you make of this? You heard us talking about it. What happened out there?
Well, I have a question, and first of all, this whole question of evil, I think we need to talk about, and God and all that. But I'm just looking at the Drudge Report right now, and whenever I want to be convinced that the universe is going to end this week, I always go to the Drudge Report.
Yeah.
Because you just look at it, you go, how can this stuff be happening? And I'm seeing right in the middle, the headline, it says 72-minute rampage on Vegas Strip. Now, maybe I'm just crazy, but did it really take that long to figure out where the gunfire was coming from?
I wonder the same thing.
When I saw 72 minutes? Over an hour?
That's closing in. How
did that happen?
Closing in an hour and a half.
Yeah. How does that happen? Mm-hmm. I don't understand at all. Maybe now when I click on the article, it doesn't say anything about 72 minutes in it. Is that really true? That it took 72 minutes after the initial gunfire for somebody to go up to that room?
Yeah. Now, I did think that is a crazy long time, but at the same time, Frank, I was thinking to myself, if you're the SWAT team, that's who was brought in, right?
Yeah.
The SWAT team, and if they're in Las Vegas, they're probably the tops, in their profession, because of the nature of the town, the tourists that come in. You're a soft target, so to speak. I've got to think. These guys are going to the when they find out what floor the guy's on, mm-hmm. and it's at and they go up there. I'm thinking this is me. I'm thinking they're thinking this thing may be booby trapped. This may be a jihadi that's got a bomb ready to go off when we go in because that's what they do. That's what these jihadis do. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
So I can understand the tentativeness maybe, or the apprehension that these guys may feel going into that room. Mm-hmm. That was the only thing I could think of that would cause. It probably took 10 minutes to figure out what exactly is going, 5 to 10 minutes to figure out where is this coming from. Okay. Yeah. And then you have to go into action to find out, okay, it's coming from that Mandalay Bay hotel right across the street. Then you got to find out, well, what room's it coming from?
But the windows are smashed out. There's got to be muzzle blasts. They got to see this. No.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know. Yeah, I guess I would allow for a few minutes for the reasons I just explained.
I'm thinking in a best case. Well, it's a worst situation. I'm thinking in a best case scenario, police response. Maybe 30 minutes from the time the first shot's fired to the time law enforcement's entering this guy's hotel room.
Well, that right there is a strong argument against gun control. Yeah. Because if it's going to take the police 30 minutes to get there, American citizens, we are on our own for 30 minutes.
Right.
We've got to be able to have a way to defend her. Now, obviously, I'm not advocating everyone with their own, you know, weapons aiming up and shooting at the Mandalay, you know, Bay Resort.
Yeah.
But, you know, everyone's always saying the police take care of this kind of thing. Well, for 72 minutes,
they didn't.
And granting, like you said, Tim, this, you know, could be booby-trapped and they've got to take certain precautions. But I'm saying, okay, well, then the argument against gun control just got significantly weaker.
How many people, though, were in the Mandalay Bay Hotel around this room and probably called 911 and said, there's gunfire coming from the room next to me?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I mean...
Well, the smoke alarms went off, so they said, because of all the gunfire, you know, in the room and everything. But they didn't know who they were dealing with, but they did... 72 minutes is just, I thought the same thing. I'm going, my word, that's an hour and 12 minutes of gunfire raining down on this place. I was also thinking to myself, of course, not being there, you don't know exactly how people react, but I just know, I told my wife, I said, I'm not sitting here for an hour being when I hear bullets going off around me. I may die, but I'm running away from the fire. Right, you know what I'm saying? And maybe a lot, and obviously a lot of people did, because you had 20,000 people there. Well,
the reaction was very quick. I mean, there was the eyewitness testimony said they thought it was fireworks because it was the last act of the evening.
Right.
But the singer who was on stage, and I'm not a follower.
Jason Aldean, which is a country singer.
Yeah. I mean, he stopped his song, and in the video that we've seen, he exited the stage pretty quickly. And people were beginning to be shocked.
To realize what was going on.
And then you had that scramble. All of that took place within 5 to 7 minutes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So, and there were security people there because people were being checked as they went into this area. It was fenced off. So, but I mean, hindsight is always this 20/20. I mean, they had to figure out where it was coming from.
Was that an automatic weapon, Frank?
Well, from what we know, he had a lot of different kinds of weapons. It was automatic. I don't know if it was a straight automatic, meaning you squeeze the trigger and several bullets come out, or a semi-automatic, which means you squeeze it once and then one bullet comes out. So I don't know.
It sounded from the sound. It sounded like automatic. I'm not a military person, but it sounded like automatic.
It was rapid fire.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah.
But now those are illegal, right?
Yes, fully automatic weapons are illegal in the U.S.
So, but they say, I was reading about this, that they're I don't know, easily, but you can convert a gun to be an automatic if you know what you're doing. But, you know, what about the gun control, you know, yesterday aspect of this? This is what we're going to get. We're already hearing it.
Well, let me, Frank, quote Jimmy Kimmel, who apparently – is from Las Vegas. He says, quote, here we are again in the aftermath of another terrible, inexplicable, that's a key word, shocking and painful tragedy. He says, why is that allowed? I don't know why our so-called leaders continue to allow this to happen. Or maybe better question, why do we continue to allow them to let it happen? I find it hard to believe, Frank, that Jimmy Kimmel seriously thinks...
It's a stupid statement.
It is.
It's a stupid statement.
That our leaders allow this to happen, I guess because he means there are guns out there.
Yeah, I guess so. Rich Lowry has an article I just read on National Review where he basically... The gist of the article is that the legislation most gun control advocates call for would not have stopped Stephen Paddock. I mean, as you've mentioned earlier, Tim, he there was nothing that would cause someone to think that this guy was going to do this. He wasn't in any way had the profile of somebody that would do this. And the things that gun control advocates talk about wouldn't have stopped this guy, no matter what. So
why do they? You know what I think they do, Frank? I think they do this gun control stuff because they don't want to talk about evil.
Okay. Well, yeah, let's talk about evil for a second, because everyone asks the question, well, if there is a good God, why would he allow evil to occur? And part of the answer is it doesn't disprove God, because there'd be no such thing as evil unless there was good, and there'd be no such thing as good unless God existed. So evil doesn't disprove God. Evil may prove there's a devil out there, but it doesn't disprove God, because there'd be no such thing as evil without a standard of good, and good— the standard of good is what we mean by God's nature. So we can ask the question, why would God allow it to continue? And that's the question that we can deal with today. And one reason is because he allows free will. And why does he allow free will? Because that's the only way you can have love. You can't have love without free will. The problem is it opens up the possibility for evil. And when people say, why doesn't God stop all the evil in the world? We have to be careful, because if he did stop all the evil in the world right now, he might stop me and he might stop you, because we do evil every day. If he took away our free will, we couldn't love, but we couldn't do evil either. And so this is a broken and fallen world. And when people say, where is God in all this, and why doesn't God stop all the evil in the world? One thing we ought to point out to folks, I think, Tim and the team, is the fact that what Christianity really is, it's really a solution to the problem of evil. The entire Christian worldview is a worldview that is addressing the problem of evil. Evil came into the world at the beginning, and the entire story of the Bible is how God solves it. God intervenes. He comes into the world, adds humanity over his deity, and allows the very creatures that rebelled against him to torture and kill him. Talk about evil, an innocent person being tortured and killed. So the punishment that is due us is actually put on him, because he's a just God. He can't allow sin to go unpunished. So he punishes himself instead of us. God solves the problem of evil. That's what the whole Christian worldview is about. That's really what it is. Mm-hmm. Atheism can't answer it. Atheism can't even say what happened the other day is evil, because there's no such thing as good. Hindus deny that evil exists. They say it's an illusion. So the only worldview that can really deal with the issue of evil is Christianity. In fact, that's what it is. It is dealing with the issue of evil. That's what the whole story is about, redemption.
You know, I find it interesting. Many of the people who ask this question, why does a good God allow this? Mm-hmm. Those are the same people who defend abortion.
Yes.
Right. Yeah.
That's what's amazing to me.
Yeah, exactly.
You don't see the bloodshed and the millions of babies' lives that have been lost.
Yeah, Jimmy Kimmel.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Exactly.
Well, it's interesting that, as you say, I like to ask people on a college campus when they bring up, you know, why did God kill the Canaanites or something in the Old Testament, I usually ask them, are you pro-life or pro-abortion? And they go, I'm pro-abortion. And I say, let me ask you a question. Why is it when God plays God in the Old Testament and decide who lives and who dies, he's immoral? But when you play God right now and decide who lives and dies with regard to abortion, somehow abortion's a moral right. How can you justify that? God can't play God, but you can?
Yeah. Hey, I don't know if you, Frank, that's an excellent argument. You ought to think about maybe going into apologetics or something, because that is a really good argument.
I can't do it because I'm not a very dynamic speaker.
What is your website, and who do you have coming up on this weekend?
Crossexamined.org, and we're probably going to talk about this issue when Saturday rolls around. It's Saturday at 9 Central, 10 Eastern.
On American Family Radio.
Yes, sir.
Dr. Frank Turek, T-U-R-E-K. Thank you, Frank. Appreciate it, brother.
Thanks, guys. See ya.
Okay.
That's a good arm. I'm going to remember that one. Yeah. I am so stealing that from Frank.
Yeah.
But don't tell anybody.
No.
These late-night talk shows, I want to do some comparison with those of yesteryear when we get back.
Okay.
Next time on Today's Issues, our guest will be Abraham Hamilton III.
Do we really recognize that we're in the last days? I mean, you read off 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 1 through 5. Are people today lovers of self, lovers of money, proud, arrogant, boastful? not loving good without natural affection? Check, 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 check across the board.
Don't miss the next Today's Issues. Weekday mornings at 11 Eastern, 10 Central on American Family Radio.
American Family Radio, impacting America.
This is David and Margaret from Humble, Texas. We listen to AFR for the past 2 or 3 years now. We so enjoy the truth, the news that we hear on the station that you don't hear elsewhere. We enjoy the Bible study and the sermons that we hear. We enjoy the events that AFR puts on from time to time that we attended locally. We enjoy the encouragement, the connectivity with other Christians, and also ways to get involved for God's glory. And we are so thankful for that.
Your partnership with American Family Radio keeps your family informed on the issues of the day. Join us for our 3-day share-a-thon beginning October 17th.
Hello, Americans. I'm Todd Stearns with news and commentary next. Hi, this is Todd Stearns from Fox News, and one of the things I love about Liberty University is the broad vision they have for their students. Instead of simply preparing them for a career, Liberty helps students grow into mature men and women of character, striving to impact their career fields for Christ. Liberty University is the largest Christian university in the world, offering more than 550 programs of study. Visit liberty.edu to learn more. Again, that's liberty.edu. Tracy Ellis is a school board member in Elgin, Illinois. The other day she announced on Facebook she does not respect the Star Spangled Banner. She literally compared the American flag to toilet paper. Ms. Ellis also defended National Football League players taking a knee during the national anthem. She said the flag and the national anthem do not stand for freedom or justice for black people. Well, an untold number of African-American soldiers and sailors and airmen have given their lives defending that flag, the flag she compared to toilet paper. She spat on the memory of Sergeant William Kearney, the first African-American Medal of Honor recipient. Clearly, Miss Ellis is a woman with a troubled soul. Is it racism, bigotry, or just run-of-the-mill prejudice? Well, that's for others to decide. Regardless, someone who holds our nation in such contempt has no business being anywhere around impressionable American schoolchildren. I'm Todd Starnes.
This is Today's Issues. Email your comments to comments@afr.net. Past broadcasts of Today's Issues are available for listening and viewing in the archive at afr.net. Now, back to more of Today's Issues.
Welcome back, everybody, to the radio program Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. I'm Tim with Ed and Walker, and Walker's posting the stories we're talking about on our Today's Issues Facebook page. True, Walker?
That's true.
And so check that out. You can also comment there. Yesterday we had someone comment, and we failed to mention it, but they had a sister, a listener who's posted on our Facebook page that she had a sister working in the hospital there in Las Vegas and was working around the clock because of all the people who were injured in the horrible shooting that took place.
And we salute those people.
Oh, wow.
All those first responders and the medical people.
Can you imagine those hospitals just having one person brought in? I mean, how do you handle 500? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I don't know how many hospitals there were, but the emergency rooms have their own their regular crowd of people coming in.
That's true.
And then you throw all these on top of it.
And then you had nurses and other medical people who were in the crowd to listen to the concert. They were triage.
Yeah.
Right away. They started to treat the wounded right there in front of the stage because of the gunshot wounds, and some of them were serious and saved lives.
Yeah.
Yeah. A couple of things I wanted to mention. One is you were talking about Jimmy Kimmel, the late night talk show host. Is he on ABC? What is he on?
That's ABC.
ABC on. And he said, give his idiotic quote again.
Okay, and then I'm going to add some more idiocy to it, okay, because – he says, here we are again in the aftermath of another terrible, inexplicable, shocking, and painful tragedy, this time in Las Vegas, which happens to be my hometown. He goes on to say a few other things, and then he says, why is that allowed? I don't know why our so-called leaders continue to allow this to happen, or maybe better question, why do we continue to allow them to let it happen? And then he adds, I didn't read this before the break, he criticized President Trump and politicians who were offering prayers. He said Kimmel says he rejected the thoughts and prayers of such lawmakers, saying, quote, they should be praying. They should be praying for God to forgive them for letting the gun lobby run this country.
So that's the typical leftist line, that the guns checked into the hotel, right?
The guns. Yes.
Themselves checked in. Checked into
right,
the hotel.
23 or something.
The guns went upstairs. The guns reserved the room. The guns built the platforms.
Right.
And then the guns, the gun violence, that's what it is, right? Started firing down on these people. You know what? These, as we mentioned before, all the gun laws in the world wouldn't have stopped this man from doing what he did. Because the guns he used, the automatic weapons evidently, were already illegal.
Already illegal.
Okay. You can't, in a free and open society that where we have the Second Amendment, unless you want to just take away the Second Amendment, but where you have the right to bear arms, then the only people that will have weapons will be the bad guys.
Right.
Yeah. And the people, like this fella here, he's a multimillionaire. He could have bought whatever guns he wanted to buy.
Go down to the border.
Let's just assume that we had gun control like they do in Europe where guns were barred. He could go down he could get guns on the black market.
Right.
So if you outlaw guns, only bad people will have guns. Okay?
Also, folks say, I saw a lady on Fox News yesterday saying we should ban any semi-automatic gun should be banned. You should not be able to buy it.
Right.
I don't think she realizes what she's saying.
She's saying
that
all
is,
guns.
That is, yes. That is, I would argue 80% of the weapons in the U.S. are semi-automatic. The only ones that aren't are the single shot and the bolt action. And so you're talking about all pistols, for the most part, all modern rifles that people hunt with are all semi-automatic. So it's not, let's ban military weapons.
Right.
She's saying all semi-automatics, they got to be banned.
But that's what people think when someone holds up a picture of an AR-15. First of all, everyone thinks AR means automatic rifle. It doesn't mean,
no.
It's the name of the company, Armalite.
Right.
Rifle. That's what it's, and I'm not saying I'm an expert. I just do a little reading, and they say that's a military weapon. Well, that's just the way it looks outwardly. Inwardly, right. It works, like you said, like all semi-automatic rifles.
Yeah.
So that was a ignorant statement by Jimmy Kimmel. I'm sure his audience just clapped.
Well, Brent Creeley, our producer here, he watched the tape of it.
Yeah,
that's the audience. Wildly. Oh, Jimmy. You're so brave. We agree with you.
But it was an ignorant and stupid comment. It really was to make. He's wrong on so many fronts, so many
just
accounts.
Like Hillary Clinton, in the hours after hearing about it, she tweeted and was going on about silencers, which suppress maybe a couple of decibels.
This keeps you from having to talk about the nature of man and the evil and wickedness that can exist in a person's heart. That can only be explained in a spiritual way. I'm already hearing this, so we need more money for mental illness treatment. I'm not saying there aren't people don't get whacked out who do mentally ill things, do things because of their mental illness, I should say, or somebody who's addicted to drugs might do something terrible. We hear meth heads killing people for, $3 or whatever. Those things do happen because of mental illness, because of drug addiction. But then sometimes, or they do it for religious reasons, like the jihadis, they think they're going to heaven if they can kill enough infidels, so their motive is the afterlife.
Yeah.
But now sometimes there are things that are evil, and we don't know, in this case yet, we don't know why. There doesn't appear to be a motive that's been released that anybody can find yet. So the only motive you can come to now is that this man had a dark heart and had evil in his heart and wanted to kill people for what reason, we don't know. That is evil, okay?
Right.
That can only be, that's not drug addiction, that's not mental illness, that's not a religious motivation like jihad. That is just pure evil in the heart of this fella.
I'm going to kill as many people as I can.
Yeah, so he had an evil, dark heart maybe that people didn't know about. Now, the other thing, and as I want to get to Sandy, is, I want to get Sandy in just a minute, as I was mentioning talk show host of yesteryear. These, with the possible exception of Jimmy Fallon, I don't know how he expresses himself on his late night show. these late night talk show and Saturday Night Live and everything, this is so far left. They just bash President Trump. They bash the people who support Republicans, who support President Trump. We have evidence of this in the newsroom with this CBS lawyer yesterday. That you talk about just infested with secular progressivism throughout the news business. I know this is not shocking to anybody. No wonder they're all after President Trump and Republicans. The Hollywood is just infested with this stuff. Jim, let me tell you something. Johnny Carson would have never done anything like this.
That's right.
He was a very popular late night talk show host. I don't know what his political views are, and that's probably good for years and years, decades, because he didn't use his platform to try to politicize everything like these guys do now with this Jimmy Kimmel and these others. He also weighed in on the health care.
Yes, he did.
You know, he bashed Republicans on the health care because he had his sick son, and he had insurance to cover the illness that his sick son had, did Jimmy Kimmel. And he said that he cares about the people who don't have insurance. And so it's basically he's saying the government ought to pay for everybody who has any kind of sickness if they don't have insurance. Thus, the Republicans are opposed to that. Thus, they're
horrible people.
But Johnny Carson, probably the most popular late night talk show host ever, he didn't get into, as far as I remember, he didn't get into stuff like this. And there were a lot of things to talk about during his day.
All during the 60s?
Yeah.
Yeah, the sexual revolution, Vietnam, all of that.
But you know what? I bet you Jimmy Kimmel didn't say anything after the Fort Hood massacre about Islam.
Oh, yeah.
Or the Boston Marathon.
Right.
Or Santa Barbara.
Not if you criticize Islam.
Or Chattanooga.
Right. Right.
I bet you he didn't say anything about that.
I would, if I was a betting man, I would agree.
Yeah.
He did not.
No.
And he didn't. He certainly didn't say, why do our leaders allow these Muslims in here, because allowing this to happen, I'm just crushed.
Mm. Yeah. The leaders didn't allow this to happen. Why do we, anyway? All right, there's another topic or two we want to discuss.
Yeah.
Let's introduce Sandy.
Yes, just before we hear Sandy, because Sandy is well aware of the story we're going to be talking about. Group of evangelical leaders has written a letter to President Trump, and some pretty well-known names have signed on to this. Dr. Steve Gaines, president of the Southern Baptist Convention. Another Southern Baptist official, Russell Moore, has signed on to this. And basically, I have a copy of the letter in front of me. Open letter to President Trump from American religious leaders. We need you to speak. Letter starts off by praising President Trump for condemning racism of all types. They congratulate him for that. But then they get to the but. Now we respectfully call upon you to respond.
This is Russell Moore from the Southern Baptist Convention?
That is correct.
And Steve Gaines?
And Steve Gaines.
Pastor Bellevue Baptist Church?
T.D.
Jakes, yes.
And who else? Tony?
Tony Evans.
Tony Evans.
These are some very well-respected.
Yes.
Christian leaders, and they're writing this letter to President Trump asking him to do what?
Now we respectfully call upon you to respond to the resolution by speaking out against the alt-right movement. This movement has escaped your disapproval, they say. We believe it is important for this movement to be addressed, for at its core is a white identity movement, and the majority of its members are white nationalists.
This has got Russell Moore written all over it. This has gotten Russell Moore written all over it.
Well, Sandy talked to Dr. Robert Jeffers, pastor of First Baptist Dallas this morning, who is part of President Trump's advisory board. This is how Pastor Robert Jeffers responded when Sandy was talking to him this morning.
You've got some of these pastors and leaders who really are good-hearted people. They are becoming unwitting accomplices to those who have more nefarious motives. I do not attribute questionable motives to them whatsoever. But there are others on there, Sandy. Let's be honest. They have been never Trumpers from the beginning. They cannot hide their disdain for the president. And the fact is, what they cannot forgive the president for is that he got elected in spite of their objection by the largest margin of evangelicals in history. And what they are so bitter over is his election showed how totally irrelevant they are in influencing evangelical Christians. That's what they're angry about.
That was this morning on Sandy Rios' show, Sandy Rios in the morning here on American Family Radio. Sandy joins us right now. Sandy, good morning.
Good morning, gentlemen. too bad there's nothing to talk about.
I know, right? Let me reset this for just a minute just so people are clear. And this, to me, this is in the wake of what happened in Charlottesville.
This letter was actually written last Friday. This happened.
That's what I mean.
Yeah.
Okay, so what we have here, folks, we have a letter that is being sent to the White House, to the dear Mr. President, all right? And it is co-signed by the people we mentioned earlier, among others. And it's asking the president, requesting that he condemn the alt-right. That's the expression that they use. And white supremacy and what else? Nazi? I don't know what else.
Neo-Nazis, racism.
Okay. So as if President Trump hadn't already done that 1,000 times in the last 8 years or so. They're saying, no, it's not good enough. It's not good enough. You need to come out and condemn white supremacy and the alt-right again, Mr. President. And what we're saying here is you have people as respected as Steve Gaines, who's the pastor of the Bellevue Baptist Church in Memphis and the president of the Southern Baptist Convention.
That is correct.
Signing this letter, and Tony Evans and T.D. Jakes, and Dr. Russell Moore, who's the Southern Baptist, I've forgotten the name of
Ethics and Religious Liberty Commission.
So they're sending it to the president. Now, if the president doesn't come out and condemn the alt-right, then I guess he's a bad guy, according to these people, because he won't agree with them. This sounds like, to me, it's got Dr. Russell Moore written all over it, and that isn't what Robert said, Dr. Jeffress, but that's who he was talking about. You could ask Robert, because Dr. Moore has been a contentious figure in the Southern Baptist Convention. He's been at odds with the conservatives.
He spends more time criticizing his own flock than he does criticizing anyone else.
Yeah, he's in Nashville. He's at the remember, he was the one who came out and said Christian radio's
not Christian.
Talk Christian radio.
I'd hate it too.
If I listened to Talk Christian Radio, I'd hate Christianity too.
Yeah,
and he was an ever Trumper.
By the way, I want to make something clear. We criticize Russell Moore in this program, but when he first took his post and first said that about Christian Red Talk Radio, we reached out to him on several occasions. He wouldn't even take our calls. We offered to drive up there to talk to him about his feelings towards Christian Talk Radio. He ignored us.
Right.
So I don't want anyone saying you should do some Matthew 18 here. We tried to reach out to him, and he has not responded ever.
Well, we're what's wrong with Christianity, if you were to get the word from him. Anyway, Sandy, you found out about this letter, and you did an excellent coverage of it this morning on your show. Talk about why this is dangerous.
Well, I'd like to be clear. First of all, I agree with Dr. Jeffress. I don't think that Steve Gaines or Tony Evans or Ed Stetzer, by the way, who is the head of the Billy Graham Association at Wheaton College and is now filling in for Dr. Lutzer. He is the interim pastor at Moody Church, so he's someone I know. I don't think these guys have any idea what they've just done. And I would like to expand it a lot further than just considerations about President Trump. I think the guys, the pastors and leaders that signed this, thought they were defending something good. They thought that they were speaking out against racism and speaking up for their black brothers. I don't doubt that's what they thought they were doing. But what they didn't realize was that we are in an incredible battle that they're in, whether they know it or not. And I would like to start with the term alt-right. The term alt-right is a construct that came out of the 2016 election. It was created in order to cast a pall, as it were, over, here, are you ready for it? Every single person that signed that letter. The alt-right is a general categorization that they're using to cast dispersion on anyone who has socially and morally conservative views. There are a couple of things about that term in particular. In this letter, they actually say, it concerned many of us when three people associated with the alt-right movement were given jobs in the White House. Now, I don't know if Tony Evans knows those people or Steve Gaines knows those people. You know, I'm with you. I see the hand of Russell Moore in this. We don't know that for sure, but He's the one who's in D.C. What in the world is he talking about? I guess he's talking about Steve Bannon. He would be one of those. Mm-hmm. I have to tell you guys, I know Steve Bannon. He is not a racist. This is a label that's been pinned on him and Breitbart, and they've accused him of associating with Nazis. It's totally bogus. And then you add that to the fact that in this letter, this is what they say. Let me read this to you. It says, we would address your role to speak out against hate groups that espouse racism, extremism, xenophobia, anti-Semitism, and white supremacy. Now, could I say racism, anti-Semitism, white supremacy? No question. We biblically stand against all of that. But extremism? What does that mean? Right. People that eat too much chocolate?
Right.
People that really believe the Bible? What is xenophobia? People that really love their country? How dare they? Like the people that were slaughtered in Las Vegas? Were they xenophobic because they were singing God Bless America? Mm-hmm. But I digress.
Xenophobic. Let me tell you. Let me interrupt you right there. By the way, Sammy Rodriguez signed this letter.
Yes, he did.
Yes.
President. He's a friend of ours.
Yes.
The president of the National Hispanic Christian Leadership Conference. Okay. Go ahead.
And here's where it gets more dangerous, Tim. The rest of this phrase from them is, we want the president and his cabinet to address the growing prevalence of those hate groups in the United States. Now, I don't need to tell you, but I need to tell our audience that the use of hate groups is a massive campaign, which is actually an international campaign, to create objects of hate. And right now, the objects of hate are the AFA, FRC, Center for Security Policy. There's a group in California, the Ruth Institute, that defends natural marriage. I could go, the list is endless. The SPLC has created this group of so-called hate groups. And the idea is to destroy. They are systematically approaching banking institutions, PayPal, so that we cannot operate online giving money, receiving money and donations. They are attacking, as you know, the organizations that are rating us as charities, trying to stop our donors. And the last part of this is that they are trying to actually ban us from using the internet at all, looking for buzzwords, so-called hate speech on marriage, on homosexuality, LGBT, transgender. You fill in the blanks, all in the guise of hate. So when these pastors are signing this letter to ask the president to go after hate groups, they are unwittingly joining hands with the likes of one of our greatest earthly enemies, the SPLC, and all those international groups that would silence us on these important issues.
I don't know Pastor Gaines personally at the Bellevue Baptist Church in Memphis. He's the president of the Southern Baptist Convention, but his name doesn't need to be on this letter. And neither does Tony Evans, who's a good friend of ours. For the very reason Sandy just articulated, this is very broad. It uses the expression alt-right, and then they say xenophobia. Let me tell you what xenophobia is. If you're against illegal immigrations, you're xenophobic, okay? That's how that word is used today. So
if you support President Trump's
border security
travel ban xenophobic.
And they use that same word here. So this is quite stunning that this group of people who are basically conservative would sign a letter like this demanding that the president go after the quote alt right.
No one knows what that means. That's what's scary.
These people don't know what it means.
Right.
Well, sign the letter.
Let's go back to the campaign 2016. Hillary Clinton used this phrase alt-right.
Did she invent it, by the way, or her campaign?
No, she didn't. She didn't invent it, I don't think. And actually, Ed, I remember tracking this down at one point. I didn't for this purposes of our discussion this morning, but it had its genesis in 2016. And you're absolutely right, Fred, that nobody exactly knows where that is, but I'm telling these pastors, I'm telling everyone, it is not synonymous with people like the AFA, FRC, Breitbart, people who believe we should have borders, people believe marriage is between one man and one woman. That term does not, the way it's used, is used to destroy and marginalize. I will say marginalize first and eventually destroy. That's what they're up to. And anybody that signed this, like the Russell Moores, who for whatever seems he's too cool for school and it loves to be in the New York Times, loves to curry favor with the press, trust me, he will be the object to at some point. He is not ever going to be their buddy or one of them, even though he must think has a chance. And the rest of our pastor friends on this need to understand that this is an effort much greater than they even imagine, and they cannot cooperate with this.
I would just
encourage any pastor listening or any person who's a member of the congregation to encourage your pastor. Do not sign on this letter. Perhaps we can do a position paper or some sort of an article that we could share where they can understand why it's so dangerous.
Well, this was in the Wall Street Journal.
Now, that is going to be behind a paywall, though.
Okay, Walker, where can people read? If they want to read about what we're talking about, where can they go?
Ironically, CNN got exclusive access to this letter. They were the first media outlet to break it. So I guess Russell Moore, whoever headed up this letter, worked with CNN, colluded with CNN on this letter. So I'm going to post a CNN article. It's an exclusive there. But secondly, these pastors, some of them that are our friends, may not understand completely what they've just signed, but that is their problem, and that is their responsibility. You sign your name at the bottom of a letter, you better know what it's about.
You're right. Yeah.
And you can't tell me that you would have to be totally disengaged from American politics to not understand what the term alt-right means.
And I want to read that line to your point, Walker. Here's a line from this letter. It concerned many of us when three people associated with the alt-right movement were given jobs in the White House. I'd like to ask every one of those who signed on to this, who are those three?
I think we need to demand answers to this, because they did sign their...
We've got Steve Jordahl working on this. Yeah. The other thing they say this is that the majority of its members are white nationalists or white supremacists. Oh, did you check the membership role of the alt-right?
Wow, what an accusation.
Yeah.
What an accusation.
So to Walker's point, I'd like to ask each of these pastors, and if you like, Tim, the newsroom can provide a link to this complete letter so people can read it for themselves. They'll find out who signed this letter, and they should go to these pastors. There are many pastors who have signed on to this. Tell me who the three are that Donald Trump hired for the White House.
And I want to know where you got the list of member groups in the alt-right.
Yes.
Yeah, and you know what else, too?
Hold on, Sandy, just a minute, because we got 1 minute left. I know there are people saying, I need to touch something that I can read so I can take this to my pastor so he doesn't sign this. Where can they?
Well, I just posted the original CNN article, which has the entire letter written out there, and then tomorrow we can post a One News Now article.
And Sandy, did you put something on your Facebook page this morning?
I'm not sure now that you ask me that. I was so busy talking, I might have forgotten. But they call the alt-right demonic racist. They call it racist and evil in this letter. So just to be clear, it's very dangerous. And Walker, to your point, you said that it was CNN got the exclusive. Yeah. And as I began to read this letter, the first thing that came to my mind, even the way they relate the events of Charlottesville sounds like the talking points of CNN or MSNBC.
What's the name of this letter?
It's called Open Letter to President Trump from American Religious Leaders.
Okay, and some of the signers include Steve Gaines, the president of the Southern Baptist Convention, Tony Evans, another friend of ours, Dr. Russell Moore from the Southern Baptist Convention. It's no surprise that he signed this, but it is surprising that Tony Evans and
T.D. Jakes.
I don't know about T.D. Jakes.
Sammy Rodriguez.
It's not surprising that T.D. Jakes signed this. Sammy Rodriguez, it's surprising that he signed this. To me, it is. He's a friend of mine. These people, this is like a letter that the SPLC or somebody on the far left would write to President Trump.
Absolutely.
Maybe we need an open letter to these guys.
Yeah. Yeah. Thank you, Sandy.
You're welcome, gentlemen. Thank you so much.
Sandy Rios with us. We'll be back in 5 minutes after the news. Stay with us.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast do not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.